experts are back. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, in this segment, we have with us on the phone Angie Jankel, who is a former vet tech and an animal stylist, and she happens to be a practicing witch. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. I must admit to you, Angie, that is an introduction I have not had the pleasure of giving since we've been on the air. So you are a first when it comes to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And the reason we wanted to have you on is because at this time of year, there's a lot of superstition and folklore regarding black cats. And I understand from Holly, our producer, that you've got some opinions about that. So we'd love to hear them.
I do. Unfortunately, there are a lot of myths that go along with the black cats, that they happen to be evil and so on. And some people associate them with not just black magic and witchcraft, but other things that they really don't deem to be positive. And some people have a tendency to adopt them out. You know, they try to adopt them. They purchase them for an accessory to a costume. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at me. I'm dressed up as a witch, you know, and I have this black cat, and how cool is that? And then when the holiday is over, then they turn the animals loose, or they turn them back into the shelters, which is obviously not fair.
No, not at all. Not at all. And it would be we hope to get the Humane Society on the phone and talk a little bit about adoption of black kittens.
Absolutely.
Well, Angie, let me ask you this question. Can you shed some light on why this whole thing came about with black cats? I mean, what is it that created the whole myth in the first place? Have you studied the origin of it, where it started and why it started?
Well, there are quite a few different things that go along with that. A lot of people had associated them in Europe and so on. They weren't always considered bad luck. They were considered good luck as well. And they people would see the black cats. Cats, you know, they have a tendency to want to be around older people, keep them company, and so on, and people would associate that, you know, oh gosh, it's with this old woman, and it's just this old woman and this cat, and if she, anything happened that she happened to spew out of her mouth, and something bad happened, oh, it was because of her, and she had a witch, you know, she had a familiar, excuse me, a familiar would be considered, an animal that was, what's the word I'm looking for? From the devil, supposedly, to help them with their spells or help them with things that they supposedly wanted to do to other people.
And is there truth to that? I mean, is the concept of familiars actual? Was that a practicing element to a witch at the time?
No, we do have animals that are obviously our friends, shall we say,
sure,
that we're very, very close to, but in the sense of coming from, you know, helping people with their spells or helping them with negative aspects or anything like that, no, that's just all hearsay. It's a myth.
Yeah.
It's just stuff that people had made up to, I guess, they were scared, so they
sure
had to come up with a reason.
And so would a black cat, is it thought to be one of the more popular familiars, or what would be a familiar for a witch, or is that maybe you can explain a little better about that.
Sure. It's not only black cats. A lot of people associate with black cats because that's just what they've been told, but mm-hmm. toads and snakes and mice and rats and other animals like that were also associated with witches and witchcraft as their familiars.
Wow, that's really interesting because I've met a lot of those animals thanks to the folks at Prue's Pets who brought a lot of them into the studio and made me familiar with them. And some of them have actually been kind of fun. So I'm glad to see that that's evolved a little bit over time. Angie, let me ask you this question. When it comes to this time of year, as a practicing witch, I admit I'm just fascinated by that. What is it that a practicing witch does, or can you help the audience understand that? Because in our politics, as we were talking about off the air before you started, there is a young lady running for the Senate in Delaware who got accused of being a witch. So it's gotten a lot of publicity, but it's not the image that all of us have. It's not all bad, is it?
No, it's not. A lot of times when people hear the word witch, they think of the, the old crone with the wart on her nose and stuff with the little black cat riding on the broom and such. A lot of us are very far from that.
Well, I
eventually meet crone age sooner or later, but not young.
Yeah, but some of us remember Glinda, the good witch from The Wizard of Oz. So it wasn't just the one who didn't like water. There's also good witches in the world who had positive spells, and there's also bewitched.
Yeah, and there are a lot of us out there. And basically it's just as any other type of a religion. We worship a god and goddess as opposed to, just one god. And we have rituals every month, it's like going to church, only our church is usually outside.
Okay, and it evolves around nature, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very nature-based, and we hold the elements very high.
Okay.
So now, it's...
Some religions are some practicing what we categorize as witchcraft incorporate things like sacrifices and things like that. That wouldn't be something that you would practice, I would assume.
Absolutely not.
Right, and is that associated with some other, form or
Satanists? I guess are considered labeled that they do sacrifices and things, but once again, it's hearsay.
Right.
So it's hard to say, but they have been accused also of taking cats, black cats, from shelters and so on, and abusing them.
For the sacrifice
at this time of year. So that's another thing you definitely want to be careful of.
And in your case, it's more of a respect and appreciation for nature. Would you say that's true? I mean, if you're going to actually hold your services outdoors, I mean, when I was a preacher's son, and when my dad would have services out in the meadows of the state park, it was a major difference for me spiritually than when we were in a church. And I have to assume that, I kind of feel my connection to nature is very much established, much more in the fact that the services were held out in the natural world than any other element to the service. And I would have to think that that's the same way with you. And the last thing you would want to do is in any way, shape, or form harm an animal. And certainly the last thing you would want to do is have a bad reputation for some animal like a black kitten that deserves all the respect in the world.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Now, we are definitely very respectful of nature, and I find it, in fact, incredibly awesome, not necessarily the teenage word awesome, but the literal sense awesome to be outside. It's very fulfilling to be outside and be with the elements and be with nature and to be able to worship with that, to associate things with that. It's wonderful. I love it.
We're speaking this morning with Angie Jekyll, who happens to be a practicing witch and is a former vet tech and works substantially with animals. Angie, do you think it's that attraction to nature that drew you into fields where you work with animals and the natural world? I mean, is there a connection there?
I believe there is, yes. As far as the nature is concerned, I'm very well drawn to that, but I'm very, very drawn to animals. I don't know why. It's just something that I've had since I was a young child. I've always been, and I almost seem to be able to pick up on their feelings and things like that. So
that alone probably helped draw you to the practice of witch, or what did draw you to the practicing as being a witch and having this particular religious pursuit?
Well, I think that a lot of the other religions out there are very organized and very, I hate to say one-sided, because it's really not a fair thing, but in my own personal opinion, that's what I got from it.
And this is what you connect well with.
Absolutely. I felt that, you know, no matter what I did, I was doing something wrong and I was going to go to hell. So this way I kind of, you know, I have repercussions for all of my actions as they happen. As if I do something bad to somebody, I'm going to get it back to me right now. It's not going to happen when I die.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Okay.
Well, and that could be what drew you to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. So that could be part of a penalty for something.
Now, come on, Lee.
Okay.
We're nothing but goodness here.
Well, that's true. Angie, let me ask you this question. There is the story of cats with nine lives. Can you explain to me any bit of how that originated? I mean, cats really don't have nine lives, do they?
No, unfortunately for them, they do not. What started that was a lot of the rumors way back in the 15th, 16th century. They thought that witches actually could turn into cats. Mm-hmm. And whenever a witch was killed or so on, then the cat would be supposedly reborn again into another witch, and so on and so on and so on. And that's why they thought it was like a nine lives thing. It's kind of odd. But.
And one thing I was thinking, if there it's any way associated with witches, and black cats are associated with witches, the one thing you can say about one black cat is it looks exactly like the next black cat. So, you know, the black cat just keeps going on and then associating with different witches. I could see that as being certainly a connection.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that could definitely be a connection for it. I just find it really odd that people have been scared of these things for so long that it's just word of mouth. You know, the ignorance that goes along with it, they don't realize that, hey, you know, they're just like all the other cats that are out there, and they're just as friendly, just as loving, and they need homes just as badly.
Providing plenty of years of attention to, maybe in the case of witches, you know, if you're ostracized from your community and you have your companion animal, whether it's black or otherwise, as far as a cat, you know, that's your companion. And so there's a very, very tight relationship. There's ostracization, you know, from you in society because either you're an older woman that, you know, is thought to be different than everyone else, and your cat is the one that's always going to stand by you.
Right. Absolutely. And a lot of people have that very strong connection with their animals, whether they be black cats or whatever. That's absolutely correct.
Do you see us getting over these prejudices, if you will, with black cats?
I do. I do. I think that people are growing. I really think that they are. I think they're evolving and they're getting it. They're not believing all the old wives' tales and things that have been passed down. They're realizing that it was just a fear-based thing.
Right, right. I mean, we are living in the information age and the age of discovery and the age of knowledge and such, and I would imagine that alone has helped dispel, even in your case. I mean, instead of being kind of a prejudiced attitude about witches, there's an understanding and a learning and a quest to try to look at the world from your perspective. And certainly looking at nature, I mean, I was just on the way here and listening to the radio, and it talks all about, you know, the show I was listening to is all about how important nature is and how we need to save our planet. And, you know, so the fact that you actually direct your attention towards nature, you know, my hat's off to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Angie, if you had to go through and make a recommendation to help people overcome their fears or their phobias regarding them, because candidly, I have to admit that I lived in a house and there was a black cat a couple doors down, and there were a few mornings where it was dark out and I would get in my car and all of a sudden I'd see eyes peering at me and it was this black cat crossing the road, and all of a sudden what would flash through my mind is that a good sign or a bad sign? How do you overcome that whole predisposition? What do you do to help educate people?
Well, I would say that you just go with it. Obviously, if a black cat crosses, a lot of it's psychosomatic. If a black cat supposedly crosses your path and you think it's going to be bad luck, well, you're going to be dwelling on that all day. Oh, my gosh, I just saw a black cat today. It crossed my path. Oh, my gosh, the horrible things are going to happen. Like attracts like, you know, you start thinking about stuff like that, you're going to almost make it happen. So if you coincide it with something that's a positive thing, because there are other countries, like in China, but they are considered good luck. So you associate them with good luck, and there you go. You'll have good luck instead of bad luck.
Right. Well, Angie, I want to thank you for coming on the show and enlightening us regarding the issue of black cats and the superstition, and sharing your information about being a practicing witch. We're very grateful, and we appreciate you coming on the show.
Trick cats turn up.